How you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How you doing, Mr. Cameron? You
all right? Oh, I'm walking on cloud nine. Scotland beating England in the Calcutta Cup in the rugby. That was fantastic. I know this is a Scottish football podcast, but we have to reference the rugby, surely.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
What?
Rugby. On this podcast.
Never do that again.
Never do that again.
But it was a monumental day. It was historic. And I'm on cloud nine.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Welcome to episode 28 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How are you doing, Mr. Cameron?
I'm all right.
You're right, good weekend.
Yeah, it's a very good weekend.
Excellent.
I'm clearly not allowed to talk about what happened on Saturday night.
What happened on Saturday night?
Well, am I allowed to say? The rugby. Scotland beating England in the Calcutta Cup at Twickenham. I was on the train going home watching the game on my phone, and there was a guy sat next to me who was watching the game with me. It was quite a joyous occasion.
What are you doing, mate?
You just asked me what I was doing at the weekend.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Welcome to episode 28 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How you doing, Ewan? You okay?
Yes, I'm very good. I had a lovely weekend.
Good.
And I watched the telly.
You watched the telly, good
I watched
stuff.
Telly. Did you know what I watched on the telly? Can I tell you what I watched on the telly?
What did you watch?
Do you know the Seinfeld comedy thing from America?
Yes.
Do you know Seinfeld?
Uh-huh.
Have you watched all nine seasons?
I haven't, no.
Have you watched season four?
No.
Episode 11?
No.
The Contest?
Right, no.
Right. Have you seen it?
Yep.
Producer Callum has seen it?
Yep.
Okay, how do I describe this without saying what it is? Okay, I know how to do it. So, episode 11, season 4, Seinfeld. The four main characters are Jerry, George, Kramer, and Elaine. George comes into the diner where they're meeting for breakfast. George sits down. He can see he's in a bad mood. They go, "What's wrong with you, George?" He goes, "My mum just caught me doing it." It.
Yeah.
Because Americans and American sitcoms always try and find an ingenious way to talk about adult material without saying the words,
yes.
Right? So he got caught doing it.
Yeah.
So they all kind of laugh, and he says, "I am never doing it ever again. That's it. I'm never doing it again because my mum's in hospital. She's hurt her back after seeing what she saw. She fell over, blah, 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 blah." Mm-hmm. Jerry says to George, "You're at it because you're going to be doing it in the next couple of hours." And then George leans forward and says to Jerry, "I bet you I can last longer than you." So the four of them then have a bet amongst themselves to see who would last longer without doing it.
Yes.
Who would be the master of their domain?
Mm-hmm.
So they all have a little bet. But there's a woman named Elaine who's part of the four.
Yep.
And they say to her, "Hold on a wee second. It's easy for you. For us men, it's part of our DNA. We have to do it."
Mm-hmm.
So she has to put double the money up when they make the bet. So I was just wondering while I was watching that, I was thinking about us three, right? It got me thinking.
Okay.
I know you've not long to go here on the podcast, intern Callum.
Spoiler alert.
I know, but we'll talk about it another time. But do you think between now and next Monday, let's us three see if we can see who can last the longest?
Do you not fancy get my microphones up?
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Welcome along to episode 28 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. In today's episode, we'll look back at the results from the Premiership and the rest of the SPFL after another weekend where the bottom four teams in the top flight begin to get cut adrift. We'll also address the video assistant referee decisions in VAR WTF, and we'll find out the answers of if Scottish football were a car. We'll set up next week's as well. Remember, you can find us on all your usual podcast providers and on Twitter at Big Football Scott, and we're on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, let's get stuck into today's episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. And where would you like to begin with the football at the weekend, Ewan Cameron?
First of all, I've been known to last a month. Right, but getting cool. to the football.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right, okay. That's why you walk that way.
Also, I definitely want a VAR check on that. Not for a second.
Yes, let's go straight for it. Willie Collum assessing Ewan.
Why does it have to be Willie Collum?
I don't know. The first person that came in my head. Right, okay. Was it in the box or was it not? Who knows? Okay. Right. Let's actually talk about the football.
So are we going to go in chronological order? Are we going to pick up on the midweek games from last week and then into the weekend? Do you want to avoid
done.
That?
It's been done.
But there was, can we talk about, I take it we'll get to the elbow from McCrory.
We'll do that later.
VAR.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Hearts versus Rangers at Tynecastle.
Oh no, we want to talk about that, absolutely.
We are going to end on Wednesday night. Rangers' hopes of catching Celtic for the league title. It ends on Wednesday at Tynecastle. Rangers, be prepared to lose on Wednesday night against Hearts. We are going to beat Rangers because we owe them one. Okay. Hearts are going to pump Rangers on Wednesday night. Just stop it.
Hearts 0, Rangers 3 on Wednesday night. Ewan Cameron, what happened there then?
Intern Callum, you're a wanker. Feel free to beep that, my mate, you prick. Why are you bringing that up?
Because if you're going to say stupid things,
that's
you have to deal with the
thing.
Consequences.
I was confident at the time.
It was a stupid thing because it ended Hearts 0, Rangers 3. And it could have been about 10.
But up to that day, Hearts were 9 games unbeaten. We were in a brilliant run of form. I know Rangers were as well, but we were at home under the floodlights at Tynecastle.
Why do you always say under the floodlights? You say that all the time.
Because
makes no difference.
No, it does.
It really does. It didn't last Wednesday. No, it finished 3-0 at Rangers.
Right. Generally speaking, right, there is something special about playing a game under the floodlights.
Is there? In the 1950s there was something unique about it because nobody had floodlights. But in 2023 there is zero.
When I played semi-professional football, right, it was all very nice and great to kick a ball in the park at 3 o'clock in an afternoon. But see, when you got to play under
the floodlights,
there was something quite special about it. There was a crackling little atmosphere.
The
boys were up for it.
Is there?
There is, though. I'm telling you. See, when you turn up for a European game.
Oh, but right, okay,
Ibrox
right.
or Celtic, under the floodlights, the noise.
It made such a difference to Rangers' European campaign. And, in fact, Celtic's European campaign.
No, it didn't.
They both got on great home this year, didn't they?
For me, anyway, whenever I turn up to a game under the floodlights, I always think there's something special about it, right? I don't know what it is, but it just feels like that.
I mean, I agree. I think electricity is an amazing invention. The light bulb was fantastic.
So I was buzzing, right? I couldn't get tickets for the game. It sold out. It was like a 4,000 waiting list for Hearts.
You could watch on telly, though.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So I paid $12.99 pay-per-view to Hearts. So
under the floodlights.
Me and my boy sat in front of the telly and that opening.
Did you have the big light on to recreate the under the floodlight sort of feeling? And
you're now being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
No, you are. And we sat there, and we were sat there open mouth during that game. I was in disbelief, not at just how we played, but also the team setup. It was bizarre. Mm-hmm. Before the game, I'd said to my pals, I think we're going to go with a back four, a sitting two, a three and a one. And I thought it was going to be Toby Sibbick in alongside Snodgrass, and then a three in front of him, a Shankland, Ginelli, and who was the other
Quall?
Boy? Quall up front. I thought Quall would be up front. But it was Barry Mackay. So I thought it was going to be the back four, and then Sibbick and Snodgrass in the middle, with a three just in front of them of Shanklin, Ginelli and Mackay, with Quall up front. And he had Quall in the field with Barry Mackay alongside Snodgrass. Snodgrass was outnumbered, and Rangers ran riot. They pressed us real high. They didn't give us an inch on the ball, and they thoroughly deserved their win. So fair play to them. I thought they were brilliant on the night. So, Hearts, though, hopefully they've learned from their mistakes.
To go back to the original point, under the floodlights at Tynecastle, was it Rangers being inspired by playing under the floodlights, or was it Hearts wilting under the pressure of playing under the floodlights?
I think what inspired Rangers to play as well as they did is the comments of Robbie Nielsen ahead of the game, talking about how they're looking up and they're looking to put pressure on Rangers and Celtic in the years to come.
What about the comments of Ewan Cameron before the game? Mm-hmm.
That was built on the fact that Robbie Nielsen had said that we're looking up and not looking down.
But do you blame him saying stuff like that?
No, because he's right to say that.
And he had a big game coming up under the floodlights against Rangers.
Yeah, you are really taking the piss now. If this is the way the podcast is going to go from here on in, you keep restarting the show, but you don't want me to talk about an egg-shaped ball. You don't want me to talk about what I did at the weekend. And now you're taking the piss because I talk about how playing football under floodlights is a different game to playing during the day.
One final question for you about floodlights, right? And then I'll drop it. See, during the winter, sometimes the first half is played with not floodlights, and then the second half is played under floodlights, because it's quite dark in Scotland. Do you think often the second half of games there's that crackling atmosphere because they have to switch on the floodlights?
You actually hear the crowd roar when the floodlights come on.
They
get excited.
Yeah, because they're like, oh my God, lights.
Lights,
yeah,
yes.
That's what it's like. We can see what's happening now. Yeah, exactly. So, brilliant stuff. Anyway, let's move on to the weekend's matches because I just wanted to dig you up about that, basically. So, we'll start with Aberdeen. We'll do it in alphabetical order. 3-1 winners against Motherwell, and Barry Robson gets his first win in interim charge. Motherwell, on the other hand, honking, heading for the championship, not won since, double check this intern column, I think the 29th of October in the league.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Is he spot on, is he?
Yeah.
He's against Dundee United.
They made 5 changes for the game at Pittodrie. Made no difference. There's something fundamentally wrong there. What's your boys left, isn't there? Is he about to go? Burrows?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Alan Burrows, yeah.
Right. So there's clearly an unhappy ship there. Something's not right. They made 5 changes, made no difference. Aberdeen coasting it 3-1. And by the way, can I just say that wasn't a penalty for Motherwell? And even looked at a VAR, that hit his shoulder.
Yeah, I thought
let's
part of that. Just
part of them out. We'll get to that. Aberdeen deserved it. Good for Barry Robson.
Do you think he's got any chance of actually getting the job full time?
If he goes on a decent run,
they've obviously got 2 weeks now until their next game because they got beat by Darvel in the Scottish Cup, in case you missed that.
If he gets Aberdeen into the top 6 comfortably and puts in a little challenge to Hearts for third, there's every chance he could get the job permanently at the start of the season. But I think that would be a mistake.
You know what I think as well? They've brought in the guy Stevie Agnew, who seems to be a highly respected coach. Why do you bring him in if it's only going to be a very short-term thing? Mm. I think Robson might get it. Give it Robson to the end of the season sort of thing.
Yeah, I think Robson will have it until the end of the season with Steve Agnew. And then they'll pick up the pieces in the summer and decide what to do. And
Do you think that's a sensible way forward? You look at the people. Do you think?
But get some time.
But you look at the people who have been linked with the job, the likes of Chris Wilder, who's got experience in the Premier League very recently, bringing Sheffield United up, playing an exciting, attacking brand of football. You've got the guy who was in charge of Poland at the World Cup recently as well. Obviously, Poland didn't have a great World Cup, but, you know, if you're getting to that level, you're obviously a half-decent coach.
I think you leave it till the end of the season, and then you pick up the pieces in the summer. That's what I think you do. Do you not think?
I don't know. I think if somebody like a Chris Wilder actually wanted the job and was available, I would give it to him right now. Because I think he's something different.
Someone of that stature and calibre, you'd be daft not to give him the job if he really wants it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not getting someone of that stature or calibre, then give yourself thinking time, breathing space, leave it as it is.
As I say, they've got 2 weeks now. So 2 weeks is...
I don't think it changes.
Okay.
I don't think it changes. I think Robson's in.
Is Stevie Hamill going to get to the end of the season at Motherwell?
No.
The reason I say this is obviously not wishing for people to be sacked, but Motherwell have already played their let's sack the manager card this season. Will they do it again?
You look at the record.
I mean, it's terrible.
I love Stevie Hamill. He's a lovely guy. I interviewed him loads back in the days.
And he's a complete Motherwell legend as well.
When I was working on the football phone and the Real Radio football phone with Alan Ruff.
This is the Real Football phone-in with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
Real Radio. Me.
So when I was working in the football and he was a player, he was always a fullback that I loved and I always wanted Hearts to sign him. Mm-hmm. Did you not think he was a good player?
Yeah, he was a cracking player.
I thought he was a cracking player, and I feel sorry for him and what's going on because he is a Motherwell legend. I hate when it doesn't work out for a legend of a football club. How long can they stand by him, though? What was it you're saying?
29th of October, last time
they won a game.
Won a game in the league. Yeah.
Which is
terrible. I mean, obviously there was the World Cup break and stuff like that, but still, it's a long time ago.
I suppose what gives him a wee bit more time is that he's not been cast adrift yet and it's still very tight at the bottom, but I think the next couple of games are huge.
They play Raith Rovers in the Cup this weekend. Raith, who are on a pretty decent run in the Championship at the moment, actually. I think they're just outside the playoffs. So it's at Stars Park. That's a tough match. If he
has to win that.
If he loses on Saturday, you think?
That could be it, unfortunately. I hope it's not, but I think that could be it. I still think it's very tight at the bottom, and any one of four could go down.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the other ones then. So Dundee United are one of the other ones. It was Hearts 3, Dundee United 1. We'll get to the Ryan Edwards stuff when we talk about the VAR stuff later in the show. But 3-1 to Hearts. Hearts were pretty poor.
Awful. We were awful in that first half. I thought Dundee United were excellent.
Could have been more.
I thought the goal was very good as well. Worked down the left, crossing in the middle. Stephen Fletcher, who's always a threat. Good goal. And they could have been 2-3-0 up before half time. And then you get to the red card, which we'll discuss in a second. I thought Dundee United were excellent. And again, based on that first half performance before the sending off, and Stephen Cowan, former Hibs striker, Aberdeen striker, who was watching the game for us on the Big Saturday Football Show. Even though they got beat 3-1, he says they will be safe. He thinks they've got enough in them to stay out of a relegation battle.
What about this? Just turning to Hearts very briefly. Hearts fans are booing the team off
throughout the first half
and at half time. Given where Hearts are in the table, you sent us something yesterday. They're actually on a point worse off than what they were this time last season, which I think, all things considered, they were in Europe and many more games than they played last season, is actually not bad. And considering how well Celtic have done this season and Rangers, you know, to be only a point worse off than they were this time last season, I think is pretty decent. Are the Hearts fans just losing the plot here? What's going on?
Do you know what it is? Because we had such a good season last year and we qualified for Europe, we expected to be closer to Celtic and Rangers. I'm not saying to be on their coattails. I'm not suggesting for a second we'd be up there challenging for the title, but to close that gap. See that table that I sent through after 25 games?
Is the gap bigger at this point?
Between Celtic and Rangers?
And last season.
Producer Calm, see that stat I sent you yesterday? Can you check that?
What's that?
The WhatsApp, the table from 25 games played last year to this year.
We're going to have a full section about this soon.
All right, okay.
It's called Mind the Gap.
Okay.
If only you read the running order before we started the show.
Absolutely. I was just trying to get the show started properly. Anyway, so
why are we not celebrating something magnificent for Scotland? I'm not going to say what I'm talking about, but why can't we discuss and celebrate a sporting achievement that we should be
You done?
Yeah.
Cool. Right, it was Livingston 3, Kilmarnock 1, a first half blitz by Livingston, and some cracking goals in there as well, I must say. And then Kilmarnock obviously got roasted at half time because they came out and scored right after half time, but obviously they were 3-0 down and it didn't really matter. So it finished 3-1. Are Kilmarnock one of those teams that, along with Motherwell, will be down there at the end of the season? I don't think it's too much of a leap to say yes.
I think it's between those two. I think it's between Kilmarnock and Motherwell for relegation. I think Ross County will get out of it because I was very impressed with them against Rangers and they've had some decent results before that game. I thought they were unlucky against Hibs as well. Mm-hmm. So I think Malcolm McCann, Ross County will be fine. I think it's between Motherwell and Kilmarnock.
What about Livingston? The team that you tipped to go down at the start of the season?
I do it every year.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for I don't know how many years. They just won't go away. They're like that annoying fly you have at the beach when you're trying to eat your chips and cheese.
But they're doing it on merit.
Oh, they're playing well.
They're playing very, very well.
I take my hat off to David Martindale. As much as I don't like their style of football, as much as I don't like their plastic pitch, you have to give them credit. You have to. And I know David Martindale's not the biggest fan of the show, or me. he refuses to come on.
Hi, David.
My David. Love you, David. But yeah, hats off to them. Well done. And to think that they're up there challenging Hearts for third spot is just remarkable.
It really is. Rangers 2, Ross County 1 on Saturday. Going by what I was reading on social media, a lot of Rangers fans still not very happy, kind of a huff and puffing performance.
See, I wouldn't say it was that, because I watched that game, right? And I would say about Rangers in that first half.
Michael Beale even said on Saturday after the game he wasn't particularly happy with the performance, says that particularly at Ibrox, they're just not clicking into gear.
I think they'd like some like 14 shots on goal.
Aye, they're playing Ross County.
77% worth of possession that first half. They should have been clear in the first half. But we said, didn't we, in the hour leading up to the game, we thought it was going to be a tight game based on the way that Ross County were setting up defensively. They were looking pretty good and they don't concede many goals, and I thought off the back of the result against Hibs, I thought it'd be a difficult one for Rangers. It turned out to be. Rangers deserved to win it.
Totally, yeah. Tillman's goal actually was very nice.
Great goal.
Cantwell doing really well, showing why they signed him obviously in January, and a decent finish from Tillman. And then Jordan White, great header.
Brilliant header.
To bring Ross County level, and you're just, if you're a Ross County fan, you're spewing because all you want to do is hold on to the end.
That free kick from Barisic.
It's, you know, it's just one of those unfortunate things. Massive deflection off Borna Barisic.
Can I ask in turn, Callum, because you obviously work on Clyde Super Scoreboard, so you hear all the callers every night of the week. Mm-hmm. Do Rangers fans see the club in a better position now than they were under Gio? I'm not talking about the wins, because that's clear to see, but in regards to their performance, can you see the club moving in the right direction?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're happy with where the club is heading?
Yes.
And the performances they're generally okay with?
Yes.
Okay.
Apart from John McLaughlin, a lot of them are very angry and he should never play again, was the...
Well, he was flapping about, wasn't he?
Yeah.
After the... Well, for the Ross County
goal. Ross County goal, yeah.
They do have an issue there. I think they need a new number one for the start of next season.
Because it's assumed that McGregor will retire.
Yes.
And there has been a few occasions this season where I think Alan McGregor has shown his age a wee bit. And he's obviously been a fantastic goalkeeper, but
yeah,
he's
totally
in his 40s now. And John McLaughlin, I think you're right. I think he is a backup goalkeeper. I think that's all he is.
I hate saying this, but I think the size of the club and the pressure that comes with playing with such a club is affecting him, because see, when he was at Hearts, he was outstanding. He was going to Scotland call-up because of his performances at Hearts. He then moved to Sunderland, became their number one, and was very good at Sunderland. And as soon as he moved to Rangers, it's just not worked out for the boy. I think he's feeling the pressure.
He's also 35.
Yeah, but that's still for a goalkeeper. That's relatively young.
For a goalkeeper, you've still got probably another 2 or 3 years.
Good 2-3 years in you.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the likes of David Seaman and Craig Gordon and others like that. Neville Southall from back in the day.
David Seaman
until he was like 40.
The first person you went for was David Seaman.
And then Neville Southall.
but those, I'm talking about great goalkeepers. Right? I'm not going to mention Alan Ruff, because as much as he was a good goalkeeper, he was not at the level of a David Seaman or a Neville Southall or a Jim Leighton, for that matter.
Can you address him as Alan Ruff OBE?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Alan Ruff OBE, because he got OBE for services to broadcasting.
Yeah, remember, he's 25 years younger than older than me.
Is he?
Older than me. So I may get it in time.
Right, okay.
And I'll remember you in my speech, boys.
Okay, fair enough.
When I get my award for services to broadcasting and to podcasting, for calling it as I see it and for being one of the very few in the media not to sit on the fence.
It's a long honours list. The king will be there a while.
Yeah, exactly. St Mirren 0, Hibs 1.
What a result.
Cracking win for Hibs, unbeaten in the last five now. And a wee bit of momentum getting built up. And who'd have thought it? Ryan Porteous away. Kevin Nisbet injured at the weekend.
No, Martin Boyle.
And can I just... So it was Johan who scored the winner, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's good.
And I watched it, and I don't know if you came up with the same thought as me. That was a toe poke.
Still a goal, though. It's a toe poke.
And what do you call a toe poke? I think this is going to be interesting.
A pokey.
A pokey.
Uh-huh.
So if you were playing football when you were younger,
it's a pokey.
A pokey. What would you call it?
A toe bash.
A toe bash.
A toe bash.
A toe bash.
Never a toe bash.
I've a toe poke or a toby.
A toby.
A toby. So I bet you right. So it's
where are you originally from? Dunfermline, right?
Yeah.
So in Dunfermline, you were a Toby, and you were in Dundee.
A Tobash.
And mine was a Pokey, and I was in Edinburgh.
Right, okay.
Sometimes a Tommy Tobash.
A Tommy Tobas.
Yeah. I think a Tommy Toby. Toby. I would say a Toby. He scored a Toby.
Do you know that Lionel Messi scored a few Tobys in his time?
The famous Ronaldinho. The Toby.
That's right.
A great Toby.
Brilliant Toby. Is there something quite ugly about a Toby goal? There is, isn't there?
I think there's something beautiful about a Toby goal because you never see it. How often do you see it?
You don't. But it does look ugly when you see it.
I know, but just
it's not the best looking goal, is it?
Toby it into the bottom corner.
I suppose. They'll count at the end of the day.
I think it is an amazing goal. Wait, every time a Toby, a Pokey, a Toe Bash, a Toe Poke, whatever you call it, by the way, at Big Football Scott, you can give us a shout because I'm sure there'll be
loads.
Many regional variations.
It's a bit like Chapdoor Run. There's loads of different variations
Chappy,
of that.
Chappy.
You were Chappy, I was Chapdoor Run.
Chicken Ellie.
What? I've heard this before.
Chicken Ellie.
Yes.
In Dundee, it was Chicken Ellie.
Yes, Chicken Ellie.
See what I mean? Right. Let's stick with it.
You won't let me talk about rugby, but you want to talk about Chicken Ellie and stuff.
You asked me a question. I answered it.
But
we were quite happy to discuss this nonsense, but no talk about Scotland's fantastic achievement.
So, at Big Football Scott, if you want to get in touch, I'm looking forward to hearing the regional variations for this because it's all different. And well done to Johan of Hibs for scoring a toe bash, a pokey, a Toby, a toe poke at the weekend. So let us know what you think it is.
Do they toe poke it in rugby?
Mic's just fallen over because it was so bored of your chat. sorry about that. Let's move on to the final game, which was yesterday. It was St Johnstone 1 at Celtic 4. Going to come on to this a wee bit later on as well. As soon as Celtic scored, I just went, not interested.
Turned off.
I was like, this is boring.
It was easy. Easy.
I did catch up with the goals easy. Later on. And Andy Considine having like the worst game ever yesterday. It was just like, and everything went wrong. And I must say, Dre Wright's goal was a very good strike. Yeah.
Can I put my hand up?
Yes.
There was myself, there was my brother-in-law Peter, and a number of Celtic fans who were like going, why are Celtic signing Aaron Moy? His first couple of games, he didn't set the header alight. That boy has been outstanding for Celtic, and he was so unlucky when he was dropped against Rangers, and Celtic fans were going, why have you dropped Aaron Moy, one of our best players? He's so good. He's intelligent, he's bright, his positional play is outstanding. His goal, if that was Messi or Ibrahimovic or Ronaldinho or Ronaldo, we'd be talking about it for the next 6 months. It was such a brilliant finish. Cool, composed. Oh, loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought the football around it was superb as well. And the goal that he set up, that we passed around the corner to Kyogo.
Jesus. Kyogo. It's not hard.
But that pass into
Kyogo.
Brilliant. Great football.
Can I ask if you're feeling okay?
Why?
Because you've spent longer talking about Aaron Moy's goal than you have Stephen Humphreys.
Yeah,
because wait. Because I just looked at my sheet of paper and it says here, we're going to get to that about Stephen Humphreys' goal of the season. We're getting to that. It's on the list.
So I was actually going to bring that up.
Shut your face, you. I'm following your instructions on the piece of paper you've given me. It says here, go over results. And item number two after go over the results was talk about Stephen Humphreys' goal of the season, ? Right? So shut your face.
I'm sorry.
So the question is Stephen Humphreys' goal the goal of the season?
Yes.
It was unbelievable. Like, it genuinely was.
Can I also point out as well, it was on his left foot, he's right-footed.
Really?
Aye, he's right-footed.
I did not know that.
That makes it even better. And the thing is about that goal, right, he drills it. He doesn't just lob it, he drills it, and it actually hits the back of the net. It doesn't even hit the grass before it hits the net. Goalkeeper's not got a chance. And you see Kjol, when the shot from behind the goal, as soon as he strikes it, Kjol celebrating before the ball hits the back of the net. He's actually celebrating.
Do you know the only thing that would have made it better?
What's that?
If it was a Toby for the halfway line. If he managed to toe poke the ball over the goalkeeper
and
from the halfway line.
I think that Finn Russell was inspired by the...
You done?
Yeah.
Can I just very quickly say the XG on that goal was 0.01.
There you go.
What's the XG?
Expected goals ratio.
So if you're 2 yards from goal and there's no one in front of you, your XG would be 1.00 because there's very, or you know, 0.99, very little chance you'll miss that.
Right.
The XG on his was 0.01.
So it only goes to one for your XG.
Yeah.
So basically, if it's a 0.9 or even one, you're basically on the goal line. You can't really miss it.
Yeah.
He's 0.1 from the halfway line.
0.01.
So like 1%.
I mean, it's outstanding. I mean, there's been some great goals scored this season, but that's up there for the best. Easy.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. What did you think of the Moy goal?
Yeah, I thought it was a great goal.
What about you, intern Callum?
Good goal. Yeah,
is, up there, is up there as top 10 goals of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Celtic are really good to watch. Like,
I'm not asking that. I'm asking about the goals. Is there a better goal?
I was going to go on and say Celtic are really good to watch and they score some really, really good goals, and that is another one of them. They score great goals.
There was a great goal from Jota against Rangers. The touch and then the chip over McGregor at the near post.
Yep.
That was a great goal.
That was a
good team goal.
Are we just talking about good goals now?
Just trying to think of really, really good goals that I've witnessed over the last.
Johan on Saturday, toe poked in.
Yeah, you should get it just for doing that.
Exactly.
You should get toe bash of the season.
Toe bash of the season.
Oh, he's winning it just now.
Toby of the season, toe poke of the season. We're not entirely sure. Let's drop down into the Championship, and we'll start on Friday night because it was a big win for Queen's Park. They are out of the cup because they can't field players that are eligible, but they are back on track in the league. A 2-0 win on Friday night against title rivals Ayr United, coupled with Dundee dropping points again against bottom of the table Hamilton, means that they are clear at the top. We're in for a wee exciting end to the season, I think, in the Championship. You and Cameron?
Yeah, but Dundee have got a game in hand, and I still think they'll be too strong and they'll win the league. I keep saying that, and I'm still convinced that Dundee will win the league. As much as Queen Park are hanging about like a bad smell, I think Dundee will catch them.
Hamilton, are they going to stay up unbeaten in their last three matches?
Yes, I was speaking to a boy who used to work at Hamilton, and he says the arrival of Ryan McGowan, former St Johnstone and Hearts player, has done wonders for that club. Just the one player coming, his drive, his experience, his commitment. I think they'll be all right, and they've had some decent results. And to get a 1-1 result against Dundee at home, they were 41 on the coupon and they were lucky not to win it, so I think Hamilton will be all right. Cove Rangers are the ones that should be worried, but they won
on Saturday.
They won.
I'm just going to come on to that. First win under Paul Hartley since he came back, and it was against Partick Thistle, who have now lost in consecutive weeks to Hamilton at home and then Cove Rangers at home. There was a Partick Thistle fan that I follow who put up a thread of some of the refereeing decisions against Partick Thistle on Saturday, and they were atrocious for the most part. I mean, so some of them were, you know, he's obviously just annoyed because Partick Thistle have lost. There was a shot from the edge of the box, and the keeper tips it round the corner. A really good save from Scott Fox and goes for Cove, and the referee gave a goal kick. It was the most blatant thing I've ever seen in my life, and it was the same guy who, remember the penalty that I showed you? It was Hamilton versus...
Oh, yes, and we couldn't figure out how the penalty was given.
The same guy.
The same referee.
So I'm not entirely sure who this guy is, but I don't think he knows what's going on. So lots of Partick Thistle fans not happy. Is Ian McCall maybe... is his time up at Partick Thistle?
He's a good manager, though.
Came back, won League One after the COVID break, got them back up into the Championship, but... Obviously, Partick Thistle fans want to go further than that.
Yeah, no, but
you look at the standard of the Championship, it's not great this season.
No, but there's problems also off the field.
Well, yeah, there is that.
There is that they've got to contend with and deal with. You don't know what you're going to get with Partick Thistle. I always look at them from a coupon on a Saturday and I think, nah, I'm not touching their game.
Yeah.
Because you never know what Partick Thistle are going to turn up. They could turn up and lose 5-0 or win 6-0.
Yeah.
That's how inconsistent they are.
Well, they got beat 1-0 on Saturday, so that doesn't really fit. But anyway, Inverness 2, Morton 2. Morton on an absolutely shocking run, only won one of the last seven. Inverness, I think, have only won two or three of the last seven, and it seems to be nobody wants to get into the playoffs in the Championship. The only team who are on a semi-decent running form are Raith Rovers, and they beat Arbroath on Saturday, coming from a goal behind to win 2-1, and that means it's all very tight in the Championship. You know, I think there's only something like 8 or 9 points separating Queen's Park mark and seventh in the league. So it is really tight. The Championship's always like that, but I don't think... my mic keeps falling over because it's bored with your chat, Ewan. Sorry about that.
You that were speaking. I was shutting my mouth there.
Aye, but I was looking at you. Right, let's move down.
You can't do that.
What?
Because I promised a Morton fan that we'd talk about Morton.
I said Morton are on a horrible run of form. They've only won one of the last seven games. That's a fact.
There's a boy called Ewan Boyle who messaged to say that he loves the podcast, okay, right? And he would like us to
shout out Ewan.
Hi,
Ewan Boyle.
How does he spell his name?
E-W-A-N.
Oh, the right way. Yeah.
And used to be, he was a former Morton media officer.
All right, okay.
And he's now in journalism and politics. He's a graduate at Uni Strathclyde.
You're just reading his Twitter bio, aren't you?
Yes. But he messaged to say how much he loves the podcast.
Hello, Ewan.
And he would like us to talk more about Morton. So what would you like to say about Morton? I know you've said that they've had a couple of poor results. Do you think they'll get dragged into any sort of relegation problems?
No, I don't. No. But I do think that they might get into the playoffs.
You think they've got a chance to get in the playoffs?
Partick Thistle are on 33 points, yep, and then I don't have the table right in front
Wraith
of me.
Wraith are on 33 below them, but haven't played a game more.
What are Morton in the table?
31 or something like that, I'm sure.
Well, if you guys could just pad.
No, we're not. Is this a podcast? People can wait.
I'll edit this out.
Yeah.
No, don't edit it out. Yeah, I think this is real life. This is what happens. It's real life, because when people are sitting in the office waiting on their pals to find out the answer to our questions, this is what happens.
So in fourth, Partick Thistle 33, fifth, Wraith Rovers 33 points. Inverness are sixth with 32, and Morton are seventh with 31. So yeah, definitely a chance.
They've got a chance. Do you think they've got a chance to get in the playoffs?
Absolutely. They're on a terrible run at the moment, but they have been doing pretty well under Dougie Imrie since he took over. So I think there's every chance. I think Queens are going to be in the playoffs minimum. I think Dundee are going to be in the playoffs minimum. I think Ayr United are going to be in the playoffs minimum. So I think they're playing for one place. I think that's what's going to happen.
Can you just smile? I'm taking a selfie for you and the Morton fan.
Right, there
I'm
we
sending
are.
It to him. There you go.
There's Ewan. There's us talking about Morton.
Yeah.
Any other comments on Morton you would like to make?
No, that's it. That's fine. Okay. Do you think they've got a good chance of getting into the playoffs?
I think they've got as much chance as Inverness, Wraith Rovers and Partick Thistle. I think it's going to be one of four.
That's made Ewan very happy, I'm sure. So, mate, thanks for listening to the podcast. Right, moving on.
Okay, League One. It was Airdrie 1, Clyde 0 at the weekend. Same scoreline between Alloa and Peterhead in favour of Alloa. Dunfermline 2, Montrose 0. And then it was Kelty Hearts 1, Falkirk 2, Queen of the South 1, FC Edinburgh 0. Big comeback win for Falkirk. Two goals in the last 15 minutes. John McGlynn took all three of his front men off and brought on another three strikers, and two of them scored.
Five wins out of five, unbeaten in eight. They are on a cracking run of form. And I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. It's squeaky bum time for Dunfermline, because the team in form right now and playing decent football and scoring goals is Falkirk. It's Falkirk. They've got their mojo, mate. And if I were you...
Me.
I would be a wee bit worried.
So Falkirk played Alloa on Tuesday night.
Big game.
Alloa.
That's huge. That's massive.
If Falkirk managed to win then, the gap would be cut to two points. Falkirk are in the Scottish Cup against Darvel on Monday night. Dunfermline are playing Airdrie on Saturday.
Where?
At Airdrie.
Oh, two massive games this week then in the race for the League One title.
If we're looking good versus evil, the good plan is that Alloa win, okay? And then Dunfermline win on Saturday and the league's done. That would be 8-point gap.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
The evil side of things is Falkirk win on Tuesday and Dunfermline get beat on Saturday.
Or even draw.
Well, draw or get beat.
Yeah.
And the gap's down to 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
So that's the evil. That's the evil side. We don't want the evil. We want good.
So when do you play Falkirk next? Because that is going to be some game. If it's still within touching distance for Falkirk, is it not East End Park your next game?
The game hasn't been rearranged yet. So we're meant to play them on, I think, the 2nd of January, but it got postponed due to a frozen pitch.
So is there a chance you could be playing them again at the Falkirk Stadium before you get them at East End when the fixtures come round again?
I mean, I would hate to suggest that Dunfermline are sort of kicking it down the can, so that might be the case. But if I was in charge of Dunfermline, that's exactly what I would be doing. So we'll see what happens. I mean, what I would say is Falkirk are obviously on a decent run, but I would still rather be in Dunfermline's position than Falkirk's position. We're 5 points clear. We are unbeaten since October. and we're on a decent run ourselves. Yeah, we've had a couple of draws in there, but we're still unbeaten since October.
I had a few numpties message me last week about my analogy of Lewis Hamilton and Mark, and what's his first name?
Max Verstappen,
when I was saying that you, Dunfermline, were Lewis Hamilton.
The seven times world champion.
And that Falkirk were Max Verstappen, and you'd rather be Max Verstappen chasing down Lewis Hamilton for the title because it's easier to do that than it is to lead at the front. And then people were going, what a stupid analogy. No, it wasn't.
It's a stupid analogy because it means that Falkirk, they can't slip up. If Falkirk slip up,
but nobody's expecting Falkirk to win the league.
You are.
Generally speaking, people are not expecting Falkirk to win the league because they're on the Dunfermline run and they've only lost one game this season.
Listen, Falkirk are something like, how many did you say unbeaten?
I'm telling you now, 8 unbeaten, 5 wins on the bounce. I'm telling you right now, Falkirk are winning League One, right? That's it. Go and cut that up. I want you to take that bit of audio in turn, Callum, and throw that back in my face like you did at the start of the show with my prediction for Hearts versus Rangers last week. Go and cut that because I'm going to be right.
I don't think you will be. Again, I'd rather be in Dunfermline's position, 5 points clear at the top of the table.
So you think Dunfermline, I think Falkirk, in turn, Callum, who's winning League One?
Dunfermline.
You didn't even think about that.
I know, because Dunfermline are going to win. I don't have to. Dunfermline are going to win League One.
Yeah, because I want to be sooking up with my pal, Stephen Mill, who gave me a room in his house for a number of months.
Which I had to pay for. Just to be clear.
No, I'm not a charity. There's 14 games left for both Falkirk and Dunfermline. I think, realistically, Falkirk need to win probably 10 or 11 matches out of those 14.
If you were
including beating Dunfermline twice. If things are the same, just say Falkirk win on Tuesday, Dunfermline win on Saturday, and it's still 5 points. That still means Falkirk need to beat Dunfermline twice.
Correct.
I don't think that's going to happen, right?
What do you think the gap will be at the end of the season if you think Dunfermline will win the league?
I think probably 7 or 8 points. I think we'll win it fairly comfortably in the end.
Cut that bit as well. Please, keep me that bit of audio. We're winning the league by 7 or 8 points. What an absolute...
I mean, we could be 8 points clear on Saturday at 4:45. How do you know that?
Falkirk will beat Alloa on Tuesday night to put the pressure on you. And when they're only two behind you and you're going to Airdrie, you're going to feel that pressure and you will not beat Airdrie. Mark my words, Falkirk beat Alloa and Dunfermline do not beat Airdrie.
We march our words for Wednesday night. When Hearts are going to, and I quote, pump Rangers, and what happened?
Move on.
Okay, League 2. Bonnyrigg Rose 1, Annan 2. So the troubles continue for Bonnyrigg. East Fife 1, Stirling Albion 1, Elgin City 1, Albion Rovers 1. 4-2, the Ray McKinnon machine is marching on, and they are closing in on the top of the table.
Lives across the road from my dad.
Does he?
Does indeed.
Well, there you go.
Ray McKinnon,
where's your dad?
Broughty Ferry in Dundee.
Oh, that's why you're quite snobby then. Because you're from Broughty Ferry.
That's why he calls that a toe bash.
Yeah. A Thomas Taubash.
4-2, Stranraer 1 and Stenhouse Muir 1, Dumbarton 1. Annoying for Stirling Albion if you're an Albion fan, because Dumbarton obviously have been top of the league since pretty much the start of the season, and they slipped up on Saturday, but so did Stirling, so it doesn't matter. You're as you were. Right, let's move on to VAR WTF.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, let's go straight to the Hearts Dundee United game. The Ryan Edwards red card that did change the game, let's be honest. Dundee United had to play a long time with only 10 men. Intern Callum is a Dundee United fan. And what were your thoughts? We'll let you go first since you're
the Dundee United fan.
It's not a red card.
Not a red card. Why is it not a red card? Talk to me.
Because the challenge, he wins the ball.
That means nothing. Right,
wait, shut up. Let him speak.
He wins the ball. I don't think he's aiming for Andy Halliday's leg. Listen, Andy Halliday, I would call him a friend. Lovely guy. But he's a cheating wee man. He obviously catches him. I see that. But I think it's in the follow through. I don't think it's meant. And I know intention doesn't mean everything in football. I'm very aware of that. But I think there'll be... You've already given me in the group chat, let's be very clear here, examples of red cards that are similar to that one. I think I could find you another 10 examples where that isn't a red card, where a red card's not been shown after VAR. I don't think that's a red card.
You and Cameron.
Right. I'm a Hearts man through and through.
Well, right, Rangers.
No, I'm a Hearts man through and through, and I always call it as I see it. And if I didn't think it was, what does that mean?
What does I call it as I see
because
it?
Because I'm not being biased here. That's my point, right? I'm not seeing it through maroon tinted spectacles, whereas you're clearly looking through orange tinted spectacles at that challenge. I'm not, right? I'm seeing it as a challenge that is a red card without question. There isn't even a debate on it. And for Dundee United to appeal it is embarrassing. They're going to chuck that out.
My turn?
They're going to chuck that out.
Is it my turn?
So what happens is he does win the ball. I give you that 100%.
All of the ball. Yep.
But it's a follow through and it's high. It's above not, the ankle.
It's high.
It's above the ankle.
First thing. No, I'm going to go. You've had your wee moment here. Your definition of high changes every single week. And my next point. No. I'm going to go now. Stephen, put his mic. Thank you. The next point is without question. You just said a phrase there. It's a red card without question. Agreed? You said that.
I did say that.
Cool. Great. Your manager doesn't think it's a red card. Robbie Nielsen said it. End of the game. If that was my player, I'd be really upset that he was sent off for
that. What did Robbie Nielsen say? What did he say?
It's not a red card.
Right. But what else did he say that you're kind of leaving out?
Please tell me.
He said, I only saw it live. I've yet to watch it back.
It's not a red card.
So there was a caveat to what he said. From where he was stood on the sidelines, he thought it might not have been a red card. But I'm telling you right now, if he watches that back, you ask Robbie Nielsen today, he'll tell you it's a red card.
No, please, one last thing. When Ross County scored their goal against Hibs and the keeper got challenged, David Marshall, got challenged by two players and he walked off the pitch and said to his manager that I gave that goal, it's my fault, you got that point because of me. It only happened to him once, didn't see it back. Right. So, and your entire argument was based on him experiencing that once and you decided, well, VAR shouldn't give that as a foul then because... So
David Marshall, who is in the goal,
right,
he's playing on the pitch and he's the one that's challenged that led to the Ross County goal from the corner.
Yep.
He himself felt there wasn't a free kick there because he said to Malcolm Mackay, walking off the pitch, I gave you that goal. Mm-hmm. So he himself has put his hand up to say, I made a mistake.
So he's only experienced it once, he's not seen it back. Counts in one context, but doesn't count in the other.
But he's playing the game, mate. He's in the goal, right? He's there. He's the one who said to Malcolm Mackay, I threw that one in that goal.
I gave you that goal. Sure.
That's what he said to Malcolm Mackay. Mm-hmm. Robbie Nielsen is on the sidelines watching the game. It's not him that's making the challenge. It's not him that's receiving the challenge. He sees it in real time. And in real time, he thought it wasn't a red card. I'm telling you now, though,
and he was
when
right.
he watches it back...
And the appeal... Do you know what happened, Ewan? Is the appeal will prove who's right and who's wrong.
Oh, that's a load of nonsense. Because the appeal, the Nicky Clark one, was wrong.
What if the appeal comes down in favour of...
Brian Edwards?
It comes in favour of the red card and they say, yeah, it's a red card.
Well, I was right.
Yeah, but you're just pouring scorn on the whole appeal process.
But the appeal process is a joke.
So it's a joke if it goes against you and it's not a joke if it goes for you.
Well, I think the appeal process isn't the same people that sit down and do the appeal. I think it's different people that they put together. I don't think it's the same people, is it? I think they just bring in different people to look at certain things. Whoever's available can look
at it.
It's
Johnny off the street.
Yeah.
It's not Johnny off the street. Why are you being...
Johnny, come in and have a look at this.
It is, yeah. Stop. I mean, let's just...
Nicky Clark appeal, they got that wrong.
They didn't.
They're going to throw this one out. They're going to look at the Ryan Edwards challenge and they're actually going to sit there and laugh and then choking on their coffee as they're going, Dundee United have appealed that. Are they having a f***ing laugh?
Wow.
Okay. That's the quote that you're going to get when they put out the statement. That's a f***ing joke.
As much as it pains me, I thought it was a red card. I thought it was a...
Thank you.
He followed through.
Thank you.
He caught him on the ankle.
Up you.
I do think it was. I'm not on the appeals panel, though, so I don't
know
what
If you were in
happen.
The appeals panel, you're saying...
I'd say it was a red card.
Thank you.
I say it was... I don't think he meant it, but he did catch him. And unfortunately, in this day and age, in this modern football, where it's all namby-pamby people playing football, not like proper guys, you know.
Thank you, Your Honour.
It's a red card.
Thank you, Your Honour.
It's a red card. And just while we're here, actually, lots and lots of chat about the Ross McCrory red card last week against St Mirren. Again, I didn't really see what the fuss was about. It was a red card.
And again,
the appeal has been rejected for that one. Even at the time, fair enough, the St Mirren defender comes across and, sort of like blocks him with his arm. But had Russell McCrory just went down, the St Mirren player would have got booked, and then we would
and the free kick for
all
Aberdeen.
Moved on with our lives. But McCrory hits out at him, and it's quite clearly a red card.
It's the flick of the forearm up to the face.
I genuinely didn't even see what the issue was, what Aberdeen fans were complaining about. But there you go.
They were all greeting.
Aye, exactly. Elsewhere, any other VAR issues you would like to? The Andy Considine red card? Anything?
The two yellows? Yeah, I think there were two yellows. I don't think there was anything.
What was it? I thought it was a straight red. My mistake.
No, I thought it was two yellows, no. Or was it a straight red?
I honestly don't know.
Did you not watch it?
No.
It was a straight
you
red.
You work on a football podcast and you work on Clyde Super Scoreboard.
Stephen, was I right? Was it a straight red?
It was a straight red.
Thank you.
I mean, I wasn't watching that point either.
I think it just topped off Andy Considine's day because he had an absolute shocker yesterday. Just one of those games. So there you are. That rounds up VAR WTF. You're listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Let's move on, shall we?
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, so we sort of touched on this a wee bit earlier on as well. So the gap between Celtic and Rangers and everyone else just seems to be getting bigger. I as soon as Celtic scored yesterday, and it's nothing against Celtic, they play really good football, they've got some cracking players, but as soon as they scored, I was just like, oh, this is boring.
It's
boring.
I actually thought that when Rangers took the lead against Hearts, because the way that we'd started, I could see the writing on the wall when they scored their first. You could just see it coming.
Under the floodlights.
And you're right. Is the gap getting bigger? See that table? So we've played 25 games this season, and I put on the WhatsApp group that we're in, 25 games last season compared to this season. Could someone read out that top six for me? Because I've not got it with me.
I've got it here.
Go on then, mate. So then let's go with last season first of all.
So last season, Celtic were top at this stage on 60 points. Rangers were second on 59. And Hearts were on 43. Motherwell, 33. This season, Celtic are on 70 points. So 10 better off than this time last season.
Yeah.
Rangers are on 61 this season. 2 better off than last season. Hearts are on 42 points. 1 less than last season. And Livingston are on 35, which is 2 better than Motherwell were on last season. So the gap between Hearts and the rest appears to have closed slightly.
Yes, that's a point.
But the gap between Hearts and second place has increased.
Yes.
From 16 points to 19 points.
Yeah.
So that's a game.
That's a game. And that, for me, is where the Hearts fans are upset. Because of how well we played last year, how comfortable we finished third, our next step was to try and get closer to the Old Firm. But I think this season has already shown that those two clubs are already miles ahead of the rest, and I think it's only going to get bigger. Celtic have only lost one game this year, and that was to St Mirren. They've drawn one other game, which was against Rangers at Ibrox. And even though Rangers are 9 points behind, they've only lost two games. Two games have lost, and that was to be fair, Celtic. Who's the other team they lost to?
Since Mike
Johnston.
Since Michael Beale came in, you know, they're 12 games unbeaten, and they've only drawn one, which was against Celtic. But
the gap's getting bigger.
I just think, you know, there's two sides to this as well, because obviously if you're a Celtic fan, you'll be absolutely loving this at the moment because your team's playing amazing football, you're scoring brilliant goals, you're probably going to win the league, and you're on for a treble as well.
Yeah.
So, or you could feasibly win a treble. But is it not just a bit boring? Like, is it not just a bit boring? I'm not suggesting Celtic just throw matches for the sake of it.
Are you saying you think Celtic fans are bored?
It reminds me, they're so far ahead of everyone else, including Rangers at the moment, I think, by the way.
I agree.
It reminds me a bit of the Ronnie Dyla days, to be honest, when they were so far in front of Aberdeen, it was at that point.
Yeah.
They were always going to win the league. And again, you know, I guess it doesn't get boring winning the league. I wouldn't know, I'm a Dunfermline fan.
So what needs to change?
I just think, I don't know. I honestly think that Scottish football has been weighted so much in favour of Celtic and Rangers for years and years and years. We're talking 30 years, and it's no coincidence that nobody else has won the league in that time, or really even come close to win the league in that time. So I think something fundamentally has to change. Yes, other European leagues are very similar. I think Bayern Munich have won 10, 11 titles in a row. Juventus won
PSG.
9, 10, PSG and all the rest of it. But just because it's happening elsewhere doesn't mean that we can you know,
just accept it.
Just accept it. And I'll give you an example. Obviously, in Holland, the big three, Ajax, PSV and Feyenoord, are traditionally the big three teams. AZ Alkmaar are actually second in the table at the moment. PSV are fourth, and it's Feyenoord and Ajax are top of the league, or something like that, some combination of that. It just seems to be that, like, at least there's a little bit of competition between more than two teams.
In Holland, there always is. You know, in Holland, I mean, there always is a wee bit of a battle going on between three, four, five teams. And then at the end,
you've had FC 20 win the league.
Correct. When Steve McLaren was in charge.
Exactly. So, and I think he's at Altmar have won the league as well.
Would you support Celtic and Rangers leaving the league? Do you think that'd be the best for Scottish football? Because I can't see how this ends unless a Dubai Sheikh takes over Hearts.
But then it's just all false. That's not sustainable, because the Dubai Sheikh will then get bored and leave.
But what I'm saying is, realistically, the only chance Hearts have got of winning the league is if somebody with that kind of money takes over the club. So if that doesn't happen, we're stuck with Celtic and Rangers unless they leave the league to join a European Super League or they move down to England. Do you think for Scottish football to thrive, they need to leave, or do we need Celtic and Rangers?
No, I don't think we need. I think.
Do you think Scottish football?
I think Scottish football would be fine. Yeah,
but do you think we need Celtic and Rangers?
No.
Do you think we'd be better off without them?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it depends what your definition of better off, like financially, probably not.
No.
But in terms of like a competition, yeah, of course you would, because you would have more teams.
Would you not miss Celtic and Rangers?
I mean, I would miss Dunfermline beating Celtic and Rangers once every decade. You know, like stuff
that
like
moment.
That. Like, you know, yes. I go right back to when Dunfermline beat Rangers at East End Park for the first time since like the 1970s, and it was, you know, early 2000s. Alex McLeish was the Rangers manager. You know, when you think of that Rangers team, everyone was playing that day. Paolo Vanoli scored an own goal. We won 2-0. It was a great day. Crawford and Brewster up front for Dunfermline. Brilliant day. I'll remember that for the rest of my life. But, you know, is it worth having that as a sort of wee highlight over the course of 25 years?
Probably not. Would you want Celtic and Rangers to leave for the good of Scottish football?
I feel the same as Stephen. I think it's not an easy question. Yeah, financially you'd miss out, but I think as a fan of a quote-unquote wee team, smaller team, tiny, tiny wee team, nah, we're not Dundee, I would be delighted. Because of course there's more chance for you to win. From a selfish perspective, of course I'd like them to leave.
If you take Celtic and Rangers out of the equation right now, we've got a really good battle on for the title.
Exactly.
Agreed. Also,
and don't get me wrong, after a few years some teams would become dominant, Hearts, but I think it would be cyclical, and I don't think it would be
same every year.
Hearts winning the league for 30 years on the trot, for example.
No.
I think it would be a lot more balanced, and I think there would be a chance to sort of reset everything. And obviously one of the big things is we have a small league of 12 teams, and that is to suit the fact that Celtic and Rangers need to play each other four times a season.
And other clubs want their money.
And I think that's pathetic on the other club's part. And I include my club.
Same.
That over the year. But I was just coming on to that point. Other clubs, like St Johnstone, for example, just sort of giving Rangers all their stands and all the rest of it to try and make
yesterday
a quick,
St Johnstone.
To try and make a quick buck. St Mirren took that decision not to do that a couple of years ago. The highest attended matches at St Mirren Park this season: Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen. Celtic and Rangers are way down the list. And do you think that is because people are just like, oh, we'll probably get beat anyway? Now, I know St Mirren did beat Celtic earlier in the season, but generally, they're like, we probably won't win. We just won't. What's the point? What's the point in going? And actually, Celtic and Rangers are a bit of a turn off for smaller teams.
It's not like you
can see them on the telly anyway now. It's not like 20 years ago when you didn't have as many TV matches.
I get
and
it.
And you'd be like, oh, I want to go and see such and such player, or go and see Henrik Larsson, or go and see Brian Loudrop, or whatever it is. These players were obviously fantastic, but now you can see them anyway.
Yeah.
And there's no attraction to go to the big game. The big game is against somebody else now.
Hearts.
And I think that's... But I think that it's proven...
Because we bring a big travelling support as well.
It's proven out that actually you'd rather go to a match where you at least have a chance of winning. You know, St Mirren have got a chance of beating Hearts.
At least to be competitive.
St Mirren have got a chance of beating Hibs.
Yeah.
And I just think people are... just getting a wee bit turned off by it, yeah, to be perfectly honest with you.
You've got a good question, haven't you?
I do.
In turn, Callum.
I do.
Go on, because I actually scored it out because I didn't want you to know what the answer was.
So, the Old Firm, both Celtic and Rangers, the last time they lost at home in the league to a team that aren't each other?
In the league?
In the league.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer because I told you I scored it out.
I think Rangers, did they not lose to Hamilton?
Bang on.
Just before lockdown.
Wednesday the 4th of March 2020. The so last time Rangers lost.
I know it was emotional
them.
For you. but because I do remember Steven Gerrard was probably on a shugly peg at that point, and then COVID hit, and you know, obviously, yes, like you got forgotten about, and then obviously they went and won the league. But
Celtic? So Celtic. Sorry, what was that again? Hamilton beat Rangers when?
Beat Rangers on the 4th of March 2020. So we're coming up on three years since Rangers lost a league match to a team that weren't Celtic at home.
Celtic.
Are we going further back here?
No.
We're not.
I think, did St Mirren not beat Celtic?
You're very good at this.
Yeah, I'm sure St Mirren beat them.
St Mirren beat Celtic on Saturday the 30th of March 2021. So again, over 2 years. And I'll go one further for you.
Uh-huh.
I've even done the maths on this.
Go on.
You ready?
Yeah.
Celtic, since season 12-13... have lost league matches at home to teams that aren't Rangers, to any team that aren't Rangers, which means that out of roughly 200 home league games, they've lost six.
And I just think that's not sustainable, to be honest with you.
That's crazy.
And again, I want to make the point. I'm not blaming Celtic and Rangers for being better than everyone else.
Wow.
They have a natural advantage in the fact that they're in Scotland's biggest city, the two biggest supported teams across the country as well. That's a natural advantage, and it's not their fault they have that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a bit rubbish.
That's actually got me thinking, get rid of them. Celtic and Rangers, get them out of our league. They're just too good. 200 matches.
Give or take, yeah.
Give or take. For 10 years, they've lost six out with the games against Rangers.
Mm-hmm. In the league, yeah. Oh. I actually think it's a really depressing stat.
It is. I just wish you hadn't told me that now. That's horrible.
So the next time a team go to Celtic Park who aren't Rangers and it's on Sky and you're a fan of that team, St Mirren, Hearts, Dundee United, whoever, your chances of winning are 6 out of 200.
So about 3%.
Yeah.
You got a 3% chance of winning at Parkhead.
Anyway.
Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
You can get in touch anytime at Big Football Scott, and that's exactly what you've been doing. For if Scottish football were a car, so we're looking for footballers, managers, referees and pundits who would fit into that criteria. Let's go through some of these. Some of them are actually very good this week. Last week, not very good.
Nah.
Last week was terrible.
Yeah.
So, Aloy McCoist, Nissan Duke, Philip Hellandrover, that's from David H, well done. Wheel Lennon from Michael Montagnani.
Wheel Lennon.
Kia Rio Hitate is quite good. Harold Hatchback from Ross Duncan. Datsun Maeda as well. Queen's Car Park from Ricky.
That's where they play their football now.
Yeah, it is.
In a car park.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Oh.
It's quite good. Nacho Nova. Strand Rear Wheel Drive from Sam McElwain. Craig White Van Man. Audi A6 Aberdeen Nil from Stuart Rankin. Kyogo Furu Hatchback. Bertie Volkswagen from John Lennox. That's very good. Morris Mal Passenger Seat from Stuart Club Deck Loyal. Danny McGrange Rover. Michael Beal MW from the Tartan Cyclist. Hello to you. We also have Glenn Speed Camara. Speed Camara?
Yeah.
Not bad.
That's not a car, though.
I know, but you know, you would.
It's not a car. I'm not allowing it.
Okay, fair enough.
Who gave you that one?
That is Hey RFC.
Rethink your life, mate.
Marianne Black Cabrera.
Eh?
You know Marianne Cabrera, the Hibs player.
Eh? All right, okay.
Oh, yeah, he played against Hearts. He did, aye.
Jerry Taylor says, Chitty Chitty Fan Fan.
Chitty Chitty Fan Fan.
Jean-Pierre Fan Fan. Remember him? He played
Oh, yes, yes.
Chitty Chitty Fan Fan. Mercedes Jens, loads of people saying that. John McIndicator. That's from George Burns. What about you? Davy Gear, of course. Jean-Alain Vroom song. Oh, that was good. Neil McGann. It's quite good. That's from JD. Well done.
I actually drove a McGann from, what's that airport at the top of France? Is it Beaujolais?
I've got no idea.
Oh, it's not Beaujolais, that's a wine.
I've got no idea.
It begins with a B.
Is this a shit story, Ian?
No, I've only driven a McGann once in my life, and you just mentioned it there. It just reminded me of driving from an airport in Bola. No, not Bola.
What's the French? Is the point of this story the only time you've driven a McGann? Is that it?
Yeah, but I want to know the name of the airport.
Right, well, we'll get to that in just a wee second.
What's the name of the airport in France? It's not Jean the Charles de Gaulle. It's the other one. It's
there's
north.
More than two airports in France.
I flew from Glasgow to somewhere in the north of France. It was a wee airport, and I had to get them. I began and drive it to my...
I've honestly got a life to get on with, so I need to
find an airport.
I will do once I've done these.
Intern Callum, go and Google French airports and shout them out to me.
Ki Sang Yong from Hoofhearted. Mixu Put It in the Garage from Ian Milne.
That's not a car though.
But you'd put your car in the garage. Paul Lamborghini from Mix 67. Don Clutchison from Sam Miller.
That's,
I think,
good.
It was very good. Well done, yeah. Don Clutchison. Eric Fiatchenko, not bad. Jumpstart of Midlothian from Jamie. Raskin Martin, yeah, not bad. Kieran Tierney. Ollie McBurnout, that's from Annie's Land. Do We Buy Any Car? From Macbeth. Greg Traylor from Willie Innes. We've got Alan Power Steering. Geezer Tony Mowbray from Scott 0148. And Andy Corsadine. Victor Van Yama. Gordon Greer View Mirror from Andrew Edward. Who's the winner this week?
I do like Do We Buy Any Car, but I think I'm going to go with Clutchison.
Don Clutchison. Well done, Sam Miller. You have won this week. If Scottish football were a... And next week, we are looking for your suggestions for if Scottish football were a farm. Okay?
Go on, give some examples.
The Harry Ragricultures.
The what?
Ragricult. Harry Rags.
Who's Harry?
The Harry Rags. Part of Thistle.
What's Ragricultures?
Rowan Bovine.
Bovine. Who's Rowan Bovine? Rowan Vine. Oh, Bovine's a pig.
Yeah. Slurry it in the top bin.
Slurry it in the top bin. I want to high five you. That's a good one.
VA artificial insemination. And Alan Combine Harvester.
Come on, you'll miss those.
Keep your eyes on our Twitter page at BigFootballScot for the next Photoshop picture that you can leave your suggestions.
What's the name of the French airport that was
at? Can you find out, Callum? Because honestly,
shout out some airports to me.
Biarritz.
Nah.
No, that's at the bottom.
Brest.
No, not Brest.
Bastia.
Nah. There's loads of airports that begin with letter B.
Bergerac.
That's a TV show.
That's the only international airport.
Nah, there's another airport. It's a tiny airport. It's Beaujolais. Not Beaujolais.
No, that's a fucking wine, honestly.
Oh, somebody needs to find this airport because...
Somebody.
It was a wee airport, and then when I came out, there was a McGann waiting for me to drive to my holiday park.
Beauvais!
That's it!
Find this.
It's Beauvais.
I googled Paris airports and it was the third one that came up.
Thank you, Beauvais. And it's a wee airport north of Paris. So I got a McGann and I put my family in it and I drove.
Right, this has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you, as always, Ewan Cameron. I'm only saying that because it's written down in front of me.
Thank you so much, and well done to Scotland winning the Calcutta Cup against England at Twickenham, 29-23. What a brilliant day for Scotland.
This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you, as always, Ewan Cameron. And thank you to you for listening as well. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss a podcast, and keep an eye on our socials for a Scottish football where a farm. And we'll be back next week at the usual time with another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Bye-bye.
seriously, let's talk about the rugby.
But seriously, fuck off you.